once snapped the tail off an F-86, spun in an F-100, and how he not only stole more than $1 million worth of computer time from the Air Force to develop a radical new theory, but survived every resulting investigation. Chuck Spinney, a boyish Pentagon analyst who was like a son to Boyd, laughed so loud he could be heard all across the chapel. Even those in the congregation who barely knew Boyd wore broad grins when they heard how he was investigated a dozen times for leaking information to the press, and how his guerrilla tactics for successful leaking are still being used today. Boyd's career spanned the last half of the 20th century. He served in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. His ideas greatly influenced the prosecution of the Gulf War in 1991. In the aftermath of the attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, there were numerous media stories of fourth-generation warfare, a concept based on Boyd's work. And while Boyd's life was marked by a series of enormous accomplishments and lasting achievements, the thing that meant the most to him over the longest period of time was the simple title he had in the beginning. He was, first, last, and always, a fighter pilot. A loud-talking, cigar-smoking, bigger-than-life fighter pilot. There is no such thing as an ex-fighter pilot. Once a young man straps on a jet aircraft and climbs into the heavens to do battle, it sears his psyche forever. At some point he will hang up his flight suit. Eventually they all do, and in the autumn of his years his eyes may dim, and he may be stooped with age. But ask him about his life, and his eyes flash, and his back straightens, and his hands demonstrate aerial maneuvers, and every conversation begins with, "There I was at," and he is young again. He remembers the days when he skydanced through the heavens, when he could press a button and summon the lightning and invoke the thunder, the days when he was a prince of the earth and a lord of the heavens. He remembers his glory days, and he is young again. Some of Boyd's friends at the memorial service remembered the time back in the mid and late 1950s when John Boyd was the best fighter pilot in America. When he returned from a combat tour in Korea to become an instructor at the Fighter Weapons School, the Air Force's premier dogfighting academy, he became known as 42nd Boyd. The pilot who could defeat any opponent in simulated air-to-air combat in less than 40 seconds. Like any gunslinger with a nickname and a reputation, Boyd was called out. Some of the best pilots in the Air Force challenged him at one time or another. So did the best pilots in the Navy and the Marine Corps. But no man could be found who was better in the air than John Boyd. He was never defeated. Boyd was more than a great stick-and-rudder man. He was the rarest of creatures, a thinking fighter pilot. Anyone familiar with the Air Force can tell you two things with confidence. One, fighter pilots are known for testosterone, not gray matter. And two, military doctrine is dictated by people with stars on their shoulders. But in 1959, when he was just a young captain, John Boyd became the first man to codify the elusive and mysterious ways of air-to-air combat. He developed and wrote the Aerial Attack Study, a document that became official Air Force doctrine, the Bible of air combat, first in America, and then, when it was declassified, for air forces around the world. Put another way, while still a junior officer, John Boyd changed the way every Air Force in the world flies and fights. But creating a new standard for air-to-air combat was only the beginning of Boyd's intellectual contributions to the Air Force. Pierre Spray told how in 1961 the Air Force sent Boyd back to college for another degree. Boyd chose the Georgia Institute of Technology, one of the toughest state engineering schools in America. Late one night, while studying for an exam in thermodynamics, Boyd went off on a riff about being a fighter pilot in Korea.